Many long for the good old days, days without terror attacks, days when jobs were secure. But those days are gone. There is a way to handle our fears and run life's race in victory. Today, some final lessons from Psalm 27 will help us understand that God's hands are stronger than the hands of wicked men, and that we can be secure even though we face calamity. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Irwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Terrorists want to instill fear, but they probably don't know Psalm 27. Dr. Lutzer comes now to speak again on living with fear and winning.
Do you remember the early church? They were persecuted, they were whipped, they were taken, and they were put in jail. And when they came together for a prayer meeting, a marvelous prayer that was prayed in Acts chapter 4, what did they say? Oh, sovereign Lord, we know that you are the creator of the ends of the earth. That's the way their prayer began. Why did they begin that way? They needed to remind themselves that their enemies who were persecuting them, that even those enemies were created by God and they were dependent upon God for their very breath. Listen, the person who has you in his sights, the person who would like to destroy you, I want to tell you today that that person lives and breathes by the mercy of a sovereign God who could snuff out his breath and his life in 1 second. And so the early church said, Lord, you're the creator, and because you're the creator, you really do have the whole world in your hands, and you are in control. In control. There's a second lesson. And now we get to the biggie that I think is going to be very helpful for all of us. Even when we are in the hands of wicked men, we are still in the hands of God. Even when we're in the hands of wicked men, as believers, we are still in the hands of God. Who is it that crucified Jesus? Peter, when he was preaching to the people, said, You crucified Jesus. Wicked hands crucified him and nailed him to a cross. Wicked hands did it. And yet when Jesus dies on the cross and gives us those marvelous 7 sayings from the cross, what is the last one that he gives? He says, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Wicked hands can only do so much. Wicked hands can only snuff out your life or nail you to a cross or cause an explosion or cause a plane to go down. That's all that wicked hands can do. But when wicked hands have done the worst that they can possibly do, underneath are the everlasting hands of God, and those hands sustain God's people even when wicked hands do evil. Always remember that. You remember Jesus said some things about his hands. He says that as far as my people are concerned, he said, no one can pluck them out of my hands, he says, speaking of his people. And then he says in the very same context, my Father who gave them to me is greater than everybody, and nobody can pluck them out of my Father's hands. You have hands in harmony. You have the hands of the Son and you have the hands of the Father, and both of them are holding onto God's people. And they hold onto God's people even when God's people are thrown to the lions, even when they are massacred, even when they die in airplanes. They hold on to God's people. Those hands do not let go. Let's take Todd Beamer of Let's Roll fame. Did he as a believer die under the hands of wicked men or the hands of God? Well, the answer is, of course, that he died under both hands. He was in the hands of wicked people on that airplane, you remember, that went down in Pennsylvania. Wicked hands were hijacking it, intending to take it perhaps to Washington and hit one of the buildings there. wicked hands were doing that. But he dies under the hands of God. And even those hijackers were in God's hands. And the Bible says regarding the wicked, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. They also fall into God's hands. But believers fall into God's hands, and they are taken to heaven along with Jesus, who said, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." I hope I'm making myself clear today. What I'm trying to say to you is that the providence of God does not leave you just because somebody who is wicked attacks you or even kills you. You're still in the hands of God. I helped a woman understand this whose husband was murdered in a random murder. She was a believer, he was too. She struggled a great deal with this. She could never accept the death of her husband as being part of God's plan. Because to her, God's plan had only good things over here. It would never include evil things over here. Well, needless to say, God does not do evil. God did not murder her husband. Wicked hands murdered her husband. But even those wicked hands, as I have mentioned, are still in the hands of God, and the believer, her husband, died in God's hands. That's why David said, just a couple of psalms later, if your Bible is like mine, you can turn to Psalm 31. Psalm 31, and I love to hear the turn of the leaves of your Bible. Psalm 31, verse 14, "But I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hands." Your hands. Now he says, "Deliver me from mine enemies and those who persecute me." But my times are in God's hands. This evening, God willing, I'm going to be flying to Canada. You know that there is a big country to the north of us called Canada. God willing, tonight, if he wills it, I'm going to be in Regina, Saskatchewan, enjoying some fellowship with my parents. My father's 100, my mother's 95, and I get a chance to visit them en route to Calgary, where I'm speaking just for a couple of days. Now, I want to tell you in advance, I believe that the plane that I'm going to be flying on is going to make it, okay? Let's just get that straight. But if it doesn't, I don't want you to think to yourself, well, you know, he died because this plane had mechanical failure, or because it was hijacked, or because of this and that, whatever the reason may be. I want you to know that ultimately, despite all of these contingencies, I have the deep satisfaction that I will have died in the hands of Almighty God. And I want you to have that satisfaction too. Because when you begin to believe that, then fear begins to dissipate, because you begin to say that there is no fear that will come to me except that it is a part of the divine plan. Now, of course, we don't do foolish things. We make wise decisions, just like David was running from Saul. He didn't say, well, God, you know, you're going to protect me, so here I am. Let Saul kill me. No, David was running because you have human responsibility connected with providence. But at the end of the day, I want you to know today that we are in God's hands. That's why Jesus said, do not fear those who are able to kill the body. That's all the terrorists can do. All that they can do is to kill the body. And then after that, they run out of ideas. Jesus said, fear him rather who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. There's a third lesson, and with this we will conclude, that it's not possible to simultaneously focus on God and focus on our fears. In fact, there's a verse in the Psalms that actually says that if you fear God, you need fear nothing else. You don't even have to fear news from a far country, the Bible says, as long as you fear God, because there's nothing that comes into your life but that it is a part of his permissive will, at least part of his permissive will. Someone has said that fear, and here we have an acrostic now, F-E-A-R, fear is false evidence appearing real. There are tons of fears out there that you and I have that will never come to us. British Columbia, I'm reminded of that prison made of wallboard that any prisoner could have pushed down, but it looked like concrete, so they never tried to touch it. The very same way many of our fears, if you push on them, you find that they are a puff of smoke, especially in the presence of a sovereign God. And that's the way our fears are. But as long as we think that they are formidable, they are as formidable as we think they are. But if we are willing to trust God, the fear dissipates. Let not your heart be troubled. There was a little girl who was riding on a train, playing with her dolls and toys on one side of the train. And when it went into a tunnel, the people who were around thought that the little one would cry, that suddenly this train, which was in sunlight, was engulfed in darkness. But she didn't cry. And when the train came out on the other side of the tunnel, everybody realized why she didn't. She had left her dolls and her toys and had rushed across the aisle and was securely being held in the arms of her mother. That's what fear does to us. Fear makes us leave all the things that we are important in life, and we run to God and we say, I want you to envelop me. I want you to be all that I am at this moment. And God, figuratively speaking, puts his arms around us. Look at what David says here in the last verse of Psalm 27. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart. Wait for the Lord. Some of you are bearing burdens and fears that God never intended you to bear. And you're bearing it. And it hurts. And it's destructive. Why don't we just give it all to God today? Just let go and say, God, you're stronger than I am. You know more than I do. You have a providential plan. You can hurt me as deeply as you think I need to be hurt. But at this moment, I transfer my fears to you. Can we do that? Well, my friend, today this is Pastor Lutzer, and I have to ask you, can we do that? You know, my experience has been that I give my fears to the Lord, and then sometime later they come back. Well, what we have to do is to constantly be giving them to the Lord until they begin to lose their power. And my own experience has been, when I've been fearful, and there have been times when I have feared certain situations a great deal, but there have been times when I had to recognize that ultimately the antidote to that fear is to renew the promises of God and to renew the fact that God will not lead me anywhere that he is not intending for me to go. You know, the disciples, when they were in that storm in the middle of Galilee, they were in that storm according to the will and the purpose of God. It was Jesus who said, "Get into the boat and go to the other side." And right there in the middle of God's will, they encountered fear. I've had to take my fears and leave them at the foot of the cross with a struggle. But then I look back and I can see God's faithfulness. I hope that that is your testimony as well, that you can look back and to say, surely the Lord has led me all the way.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has now concluded Living with Fear and Winning, a message on coping with the times that try men's souls. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Today's message can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3. For full information, call us toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about Living with Fear and Winning. Visit our website at runningtowin.org for information on our many ministry resources. And please don't forget that this broadcast is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. Ever feel like a square peg in a round hole? Tomorrow, don't miss a series on finding where you fit as a believer in the body of Christ. Join us for our next Running to Win.